Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. This episode is going to be a little bit different. I've been able to interview many interesting people since I started this podcast in 2016. I love to follow companies and people and learn what's happened to them over time. So in this episode, we're going to catch up with four people that I interviewed in the past. The amazing Jason Henderson, who started and grew a company faster than anyone I know. Liz Friesen, who with her husband Mark is growing a solid plumbing company in the Colorado area. Richard Flournoy, who turned his company into a powerhouse, sold it, and is now venturing into a totally different industry. And at the end, we'll wrap up with an incredible story. Brandy Zeeker, who is a marketing manager at ServiceNation. She was known for her creative marketing videos. She became a viral influencer, left our industry, and became, incredibly, a best-selling author. It's a great story, and she has powerful advice for contractors. We're starting with Jason Henderson. I interviewed Jason Henderson twice, once in episode 43 called It's All About We. Jason's business started and grew faster than any business that I'm aware of in our industry. Years later, I interviewed Jason again in episode 91 after Jason was named Contractor of the Year. Lots has happened with Jason and his company since then. Well, Jason Henderson, welcome back to Profiles in Prosperity.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
When we talked in 2022, you had received an offer to sell your business, but you had decided not to. Catch us up on what happened since then. You have actually sold your business.
Yeah, so I think we must have caught up towards the beginning of 2022. And so I didn't sell it in 2021. And it was on my radar to still go through the process of selling. And we did end up selling in November of 22. And it was a really great process. Everything turned out as good as it could.
You were well prepared for it, weren't you? You had your financials in a row. You knew how to handle due diligence. The whole thing wasn't too bad, was it?
It was pretty easy, actually. You know, one of our main things with our old business was to always be organized. And so we had everything ready and prepared to go, but we didn't have it ready just to sell the company. It was just ready because we were just always organized.
Yeah, you were a well-run company. So what's happened since then?
Well, so much, you know, it's now been about a year and a half. We're in the middle of 2024 now. When we were getting ready to finally transact, I started to think, okay, well, I went from being a technician that didn't know anything about business to finally kind of figuring out business and now getting ready to go on to this new phase of, well, now I'm more of an investor or maybe more of a, well, I guess just a person that has a lot of money. And so what do I do now? So try to learn a lot about that, joined another group outside of the industry, picking a lot of people's brains on what I should be doing. But I've also taken a lot of vacations and helped out a lot of friends and family and gotten involved with a lot of different charities and even currently starting up two new businesses.
So tell me about the businesses you're starting up and also tell me about that private charity that you're going to start.
Right around November of last year, I started up a digital marketing company. I have two partners in on that, and it's called Digital Traction. And we don't do a lot of the traditional stuff that you normally see in the marketing space. We don't do website creation or SEO or even any kind of PPC management or anything like that. Our niche is to focus solely on map placements and helping to kind of alleviate proximity issues when it comes to working with Google. And so we work with HVAC, plumbing, electrical, roofing, restoration, and garage door companies. And so still in the home services, but I'm not actually working in the home services industry, just on the marketing side. And it's been working out great. I just put up my first advertisement for the company about a week ago. But even prior to that, we already had a lot of business coming in, a lot of good clients and a lot of friends in the industry that just automatically signed up.
So if somebody wanted to get hold of Digital Traction and learn more about it, what would be a good way for them to do that?
Well, they could just reach out directly to me. Most people are friends on Facebook, but if they're not, just friend me on Facebook, message me through there. They can always shoot me a text message or give me a call. My phone number is 702-499-3473. I'm always happy to answer any questions. I'm pretty active. I don't really like to sit around, so I'm kind of always doing something and always willing to talk to just about anybody about anything. Okay. You know, that's just the way that I've always done it. And so that's one of them. The other is going to be Garage Door Service and Repair Company in Las Vegas. And so that company is Good Golly Garage Doors.
And I love the name.
Yeah. Dan Antonelli, you know, designed the whole thing. So it's a great design. Pretty excited to get started on that. Just waiting for the contractors board to approve all the licensing, which they just said should be in the next couple of weeks. So hoping by mid-July, you know, we're up and running. Bought a building for it, had it fully renovated. Just bought a bunch of office furniture, got a bunch of the phones and internet set up, have a CRM onboarding for it here within the next couple of weeks. And, you know, it's just going the way that it should go.
Wow. Fantastic. Way to go.
Yeah, thanks. And then as far as the private charity, we decided to have a privately funded foundation. We already have a donor advised fund that we use to donate to different charities. I mean, there's so many out there that are worthy of trying to get some help. But we decided, okay, well, let's do something and just stay really focused on things that are important to us. And so my wife and I, we're starting up a foundation. It's going to be called the K&J Henderson Foundation. And the primary focus of that foundation really is to really help women that have been in abusive or sexually abusive type situation, really to kind of help them get through that issue. It's obviously a big problem out there, and we want to be able to maybe support some different charities that really support that cause. I think our big goal there is to get a facility built kind of close to the area that we live in. And we live in a really nice area, but you know, that kind of situation can happen anywhere. And so if a person went through that situation in our neighborhood, of course, they're going to be confused and they're going to be traumatized. And, you know, it's difficult for them to just take a ride downtown and, you know, not feel intimidated by that experience. So again, being intimidated is part of that whole experience, I think, you know. So having a facility closer to home that we actually fund to get built, and then having their management resources actually run it, would be a great partnership for them and us. For us, we're not doing it to make any money. We're already fine there. We really want to just help. Another cause that's close to our hearts is trying to help homeless youth. And so even next week, I'm actually going with a friend of mine who teaches, you know, he's a very successful person, and he goes and teaches homeless youth every month. You know, he teaches them a financial class. And so I'm going to tag along with him and teach them a class as well next week. And so, you know, we want to try to do the best we can to help different causes or different people that do need help.
Way to go. That is really fantastic. Not only have you done well yourself, but you're sharing it with your community. That's fantastic.
We're pretty excited to do things like that. We get excited for everything, though. You know, we get excited to spend more time with our family now. I guess I'm getting ready to spend even less time with my family once these businesses get rolling. But
I was going to ask about that. How do you do all that?
Well, you know, they say it's not like work if you're doing what you love. And I just found that I do have a passion for starting businesses and hiring team members and creating jobs. And I guess just overall, to me, a win is different to everyone. You know, it's perspective. But for me, that's winning. I enjoy sharing experiences, developing team members, trying to help them reach their potential. And at the same time, it's very fulfilling to me. So it just feels good all around.
There's nothing as good as helping out other people and seeing them leave better lives as a result of what you've done. It's a fantastic feeling. So are you still an advisory board mentor?
So it's been something that kind of goes on and off depending on my workload and my bandwidth to be able to do more. But definitely, I still get together with different groups of people and talk to them about different things. But SNA, Service Nation Alliance, as you know, is real dear to me. You know, I started off my business and didn't know anything and really was able to take all of the information that SNA provided and run with it. And so I'm still involved with SNA. I actually just signed on recently to become one of their premier coaches. And so this will give me a little more of an opportunity to work one-on-one with some different contractors that'll have different strengths and weaknesses that I might be able to kind of help out with.
That's wonderful. If I were a contractor starting out my business or even a ways into my business, if I had the opportunity to talk with you, I would definitely take it.
Yeah, you know, HVAC,
you're such a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, when it comes to HVAC and plumbing, I know that there are a lot of different areas that I can help in. I don't know it all, but I know enough to be able to look at what someone's doing, take a look at their financials, maybe take a look at their performance or team members and things like that, and maybe play a little devil's advocate in some cases, maybe really be able to guide them into some winning ways pretty quickly.
Well, Jason, this has been fantastic. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this with us. I love catching up with you. This is the third time you've been on the podcast, and it's wonderful. I mean, the first time we did this podcast, it was about maybe a year or two after you started your business and you had already grown a bunch. Then we talked in 2022 when your business was growing and you had had an offer to sell, and now we're post-sale finding out what's going on. This is just an amazing story. So thanks for allowing me this time to catch up.
Really great to catch up with you too. Happy that you're doing well and enjoying everything that you're doing, and really appreciate it.
Thanks to you as well. This is David again. We first interviewed Liz Friesen at Southside Plumbing in episode 106. Liz and her husband, Mark, are the owners and founders of Southside Plumbing. They're in a growth phase, growing in a careful and measured way. So let's find out what's new with Liz, Mark, and Southside Plumbing. Well, Liz Friesen, welcome back to Profiles in Prosperity. It's so great to talk to you again.
Hey, it's great to be here. I'm glad we get to chat today.
So Liz, it's been a little over a year since we talked last time. I know you've done a lot of stuff since then. I remember that you took your daughter to Europe and she was there for a year. What else has happened in your personal and business life?
Well, in business life, we actually just moved to a new shop. Personally, everything is just about the same. Nothing too exciting. Our trip to Italy was great, and we haven't gone on another trip since then just because kids are expensive, even if you only take one to Italy. So we've been hanging out around the shop.
So tell us about the new location.
It's great. Our last shop was 3,000 square feet, and our new one is 7,500 square feet. Our last shop, it had an office, but it was an office that we all shared, which is sometimes a challenge if everyone is talking at the same time. And our new office has different spaces for everybody. So we all have our own space. It has a training room and a conference room. And we also have a good-sized garage to store the vans in.
Very nice. So how did you guys come about this new location and decide to get it?
Our lease was coming up in our old location, and it wasn't very well managed. We were by a dumpster, which was great, but we could never fill it because people would just drive by and drop off all sorts of stuff. And sometimes next to the dumpster, so we're throwing like basketball hoops in the dumpster, hot tub covers, and it was just a pain. There was also a lot of construction there. And one day we were in the garage and we're like, why is there daylight in here? Well, the wall had started to separate because of all the construction outside. And we decided, I think it's time to move elsewhere.
Yeah. So are you guys leasing this one or are you buying it?
This one we are leasing. I looked at buying a location, but in Denver, everything's very high right now. So, I mean, it's going to be about $4 million to get into a space large enough. So we're going to hold off for a little bit.
So what else in the business? You've added people, I know.
Yes, we have added some new people. Our former apprentices, well, we still consider them apprentices. They just don't like to be called apprentices. They're starting to move into vans here in Denver. After 2 years, you can get a residential license, which means you can do water and waste, but you cannot do gas. So they're moving into vans, but they're still learning about how to install and repair gas lines. We're also starting to hire. We just got a new apprentice, and we're in the final stages of hiring another plumber, one who can run on his own. So we're growing. I hoped to grow a little faster, but the economy started slowing down, so we're just being a little bit more cautious.
Yeah, particularly in the plumbing industry, it's hard to find people. And if you're looking for a licensed plumber, it's pretty hard to find them, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's very much a challenge. Everyone's putting out plumbers and vans pretty quickly. So sometimes we'll interview and we'll ask them code questions and they won't know the answers. A lot of people are being trained just to like do basic stuff, install faucets or install water heaters. And sometimes we do more complicated jobs. And I mean, we could train them, but experienced plumbers are very expensive, so it's a little cost prohibitive to train them.
So what else is going on in the business?
Last time I spoke about how we knew we needed to come up with more policies. So for a while, we were going by the seat of our pants. And that worked well until we got larger. And then we realized that we really needed some order in the chaos because we couldn't just be like, oh, okay, you do this, you do that. So I got Trainual. It's Train, UAL. Well, it's kind of like a software online that helps you organize and build manuals for your business. So you can do policies and you can also build procedures. And through it, it has an AI assistant, which building policies is so boring, which is probably why I've been putting it off. But it helps you build the policies using like a ChatGPT kind of AI system.
Oh, very nice. So give me an example of how you use the AI with it.
So let's say I am building a policy on human resources, maybe time off. It's just laborious to write a time off policy. I know what it needs to say, but putting it in a system, just writing it out is just a drag. So
yeah,
I will tell the AI system, I need to write a policy about, and then I'll be more specific, about time off. Everyone is getting 3 weeks off and they have to call in 2 weeks ahead of time to give us warning so we can prepare the schedule. And it will write out a professional policy for that, that I don't have to worry about how it's worded. I still have to go back and edit it and make sure it's correct, but I don't have to write it. And it's fantastic. I have a degree in writing, but I would rather write fun things rather than policy.
Yeah, creative writing is a little bit different than writing policy and procedures, isn't it?
Very much so.
Sounds like
it's
a really cool
support.
Tool. Yeah. And so does it help you organize it as well?
Yes. And it's great because they guide you. Like first, they have you write an org chart, and then there's a lot of helpful videos on how to write policies, how to write procedures, and how it's formatted. It's great because everything is online, so the guys can just access it anytime and look up the policies.
That's awesome. Do you guys print a version also, or do you guys just say, no, it's all online?
Right now, it's all online. We have a pretty young crew, and they specifically said that they do not want paper. I do have one guy who would love it to be on paper. So every once in a while, I'll print stuff with him, or I have to sit there and remind him how to log in and help him find his password. But most of the crew does very well.
That's great. Wow, what a cool tool. I haven't heard of that before. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Train UAL. Got it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Anything else new that we should talk about?
Well, my newest project is inventory. So pray for me there because it's a large undertaking. We're just starting to add barcodes to our materials in our warehouse, and we're trying to set that up. But we're still in the infant stages. So, but hopefully if we speak again, it will be going full bore.
What software system do you guys use?
We use ServiceTitan. I looked at changing, but it just covers everything. So yeah, we stay with ServiceTitan.
Good. And is their inventory system going to do what you guys need it to do?
Yes. So I started reading about inventory. I looked at different softwares, but then my Ferguson rep and my Wynn Nelson rep, they both integrate into ServiceTitan. And I finally decided, okay, we're just going to stick with it. And they have some new things like a new app where you can scan things, which is very helpful.
Yeah, that level of integration will make it a whole lot easier. Well, good for you.
That's everything else is basically the same.
Well, this has been terrific. I'm so happy to hear that the company is doing well. You and Mark are doing well. The family's good. And it's great to catch up with you. So thanks for doing this with me.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me. I enjoy it.
In episode 101, Richard Flournoy gave us the story of his company, the powerful reason for starting, the difficult years when they almost went under, and what he did to turn the company around. And then he sold and went to work for the private equity company that acquired his company. So what happened then? Richard Flournoy, welcome back to Profiles in Prosperity. So great to have you here.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So back in episode 101, we interviewed you and you told us about the history of your business, how you joined ServiceNation, how you stopped doing home warranty. You did a bunch of things to grow your business. And then in 2022, you sold it. And to refresh everybody's memory, you remained as president of your company and a shareholder in the parent company, Unique Indoor Comfort. By the way, that's a great story and totally inspiring. So if people haven't listened to it, they ought to go back and listen to it. So I'd like to catch up with you and find out how everything's going with you and what's new.
Yes, sir. So I left Unique Indoor Comfort December 1st of 2023 was my last day. I've been traveling a lot for, I do martial arts. So I've been traveling to Trinidad and Tobago a lot. And then
wow.
Was in the search of my next venture, and I finally found what I'm going to do next.
Oh my gosh, this is exciting. Let me roll back. I want to hear all the details on the new venture and the martial arts in Trinidad and Tobago. My goodness. But I want to roll back to working for Unique Indoor Comfort. And I'm not looking for dirt or anything like that, but some people really hate working for the acquiring company. Other people love it. And of course, there's everything in between. What was your experience like?
I had a lot of positive experiences with working with Unique Indoor Comfort. A lot of really good people work there. I really learned a whole lot while I was there, learning opportunities that I would have never gotten if I didn't stay and work there. So I'm very blessed to have been part of it.
But ultimately, you decided to leave. Why was that? Or was that just part of the plan the whole time?
You know, everything has its life cycle, and it was just time to go and time for a new adventure.
Yeah, makes sense. So you said you learned a lot. What kind of things did you learn about?
We started implementing EOS when we first got onboarded with Unique Indoor Comfort because they were an EOS company. And I know you're familiar with that because a lot of people are going down that journey. It had never been on my radar before, but it's a really, really amazing way to organize your business. And I would have never explored that if I hadn't been part of Unique Indoor Comfort. And I learned a whole lot from that process.
I've heard wonderful things about it. So martial art, talk to me a little bit about that. So you had some time to get more involved with that, I guess.
Yes, sir. So I've been a martial artist for about 13 years. And typically it takes a person, if they go 5 days a week, it takes about 3 years to become a black belt. Well, it took me 11 years to become a black belt because I was only going once or twice a week. And now that I'm semi-retired or waiting on that next venture, I've been able to go a lot more. And I went to my first black belt test in November of 22, successfully got a jet black belt. And then I've been on 2 trips to Trinidad and Tobago to train after that. And we just came back. We were there for 8 days. We had to train at the different dojos there. And then I'll be taking my next black belt test coming up in November of this year.
What specific version of martial arts is this?
So I do Danjutsu Ryu, which is a style that was born in Trinidad and Tobago. It's been around 52 years. The grandmaster is still a part of it, still teaching every day, still flies from Trinidad and Tobago every 6 months to grade everybody. It's a cross between Japanese jujitsu, taekwondo, and aikido.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that. It's a great use of your retirement time.
Yes, sir.
So, a new venture. What is that all about?
I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do. So I went on a couple of trips. And my wife and I know, you know, we have a special needs child that's on a ventilator. So it's a little bit difficult for my wife and I to go on a trip together. So we planned this trip out when we sold. And we planned it. We went in May of this year. And we went on this trip and I met a couple that owned a travel agency and I just talked to them a whole bunch and they offered me a job and I thought about taking the job. And then I was like, you know, what does it take to open a travel agency? And what I discovered is the same business as a plumbing, heating and air company. It's a people business. You're solving, it's a different product, but it's the same thing. You're solving a problem for somebody. And so I started doing the prep work for getting certified, getting everything set in place so that we can open a travel agency. And since then I've sold 2 trips. I sold a trip to Aruba and I sold a trip to Disney World, but everything's moving along really nicely with it.
Well, congratulations. That's great. And is Felicia going to be actively involved in this?
Yeah, it's going to be Felicia and I together.
Fantastic. Well, you guys were wildly successful in the plumbing industry. I expect you will be wildly successful in this as well. That's really interesting. I got to say, that's quite a move out of the industry, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. You might think differently, but to me, heating, air conditioning, and plumbing is a world apart from the travel industry.
It's really the same business. I mean, in plumbing, we had what we called was a 12-step ultimate client experience that we use from Blue Collar Success Group. And in that process, you're identifying their wants and needs and desires and then coming up with solutions for it. Travel's the exact same thing. In plumbing, you know, they're calling us because their water heater is broken, but they're not really calling us because their water heater is broken. They're calling us because they don't have any hot water and they want hot water. So when people call for a travel experience, they're not calling to go on vacation. They're calling so they can do a reboot, so they can reset and just take a break from everyday life. So essentially, it's the same business. And I'm super excited to get into it.
Well, I'm going to be really interested to hear about that in the future. Good for you. That sounds great. It's hard to go from owning your own business and going, you know, 1,000 miles an hour all the time to just stopping. You know, you got to have something. This sounds like a really interesting venture. So good for you guys. I wanted to roll back a little bit to the sale and working with Unique Indoor Comfort. If you look over your experience during that time, the sale and after, would you have done anything differently knowing what you know now?
I don't think that I would do anything differently. I think everything that we did has led to a bigger and brighter future than we had before. And I will say, if I thought about mine and your relationship, had we not discovered Service Nation Alliance, I wouldn't be sitting here on this call today. I wouldn't have been able to go to Italy with my family this past May. And when you started your business, Service Nation Alliance, you kind of brought together the best and brightest people in the industry and made it so that average people like Richard can succeed. And I'll be forever grateful for that, David.
Well, thank you very much. You're always overly modest. You describe yourself as the average guy, but you are an incredible person. I would take exception to that. Hey, I got one other thing I wanted to tell you about. You may or may not know this, but I bet you don't. We did a podcast interview with Mike Chastain, and he told the story of you reaching out to him when he was struggling. I think he had posted on Facebook or somewhere else, and you messaged him and said, hey, look, you know, I'm not far away from you. If you'd like to get together, I'd be happy to help you out. And, you know, I've been there as well. And Mike was so surprised that someone that is in the same market as he is, someone who is nominally a competitor, would be so kind as to reach out and offer help. And so you invite him over, you showed him your shop, you introduced him to Service Nation. You made a huge difference in his business and his life. And I think you're just a shining example of how people should be. So more people should follow your example. That was great.
One of the things that I learned from Service Nation Alliance is the only competitor you have is yourself. And actually, by bringing him in, it made my company stronger. It made his company stronger. He's a beautiful person. And now that I know he has a podcast out with you, I'm going to go back and find it and listen to it, because I bet it turned out really amazing.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story. It's unique. I haven't heard about anybody else that started out quite the way he did. So, yeah, it's great.
He's doing really well. I see his trucks all the time.
Well, is there any questions I should have asked you that I didn't?
No, sir. None that I can think of. I want to reiterate, you are a blessing to my family and blessing to me, and I really appreciate you.
You're so very kind. You and Felicia are the nicest people in the world, and you guys deserve just the best possible life. So I'm so happy to hear that things have turned out well for you, and I'm excited about your new venture. You know what? I think through travel, you're going to make other people's lives better as well. So good for you.
Yes, sir.
Brandy Zeeker is talented, smart, and hardworking. Brandy was a marketing manager at Service Nation when I interviewed her in episode 84, when she gave great information and advice to contractors about using social media. She left Service Nation and became a, wait for it, best-selling author. Brandy is a social media genius. Listen carefully to her story and her advice for contractors. Very few people can articulate and explain the nuances of social media as she can. Her information and ideas are priceless. Brandy Zeeker, welcome back to Profiles in Prosperity. So you were a marketing manager at Service Nation. You did hilarious videos playing the part of Svetlana, the spy. You did lots of other great stuff for us. And you were on this podcast, episode 84, and you talked about how to use social media. Really a great episode. Mm-hmm. If people haven't listened to it, they ought to go back and listen to it, because uh-huh. your advice was really good and very commonsensical. So then you left Service Nation.
I know.
Sad day for me.
The dark day.
And, yeah. And you took your career elsewhere. So catch us up, because this is really exciting stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's really exciting to be on here after promoting the podcast for years when I was at Service Nation. So this is super fun coming on the other end as a guest. I had been writing my first book for, I want to say like 10 years before I finally decided that it was time for me to publish. And at that time, it was about 2022. I had previously gone viral on social media. And by viral, I mean like I hit probably around 15 million views. At the time, I think I was at like 60,000 followers when this happened. And it was just mainly me posting about funny videos about books I was reading. And I grew a pretty big following just from that. But then I did post the synopsis and kind of the pitch for my book that I've been writing for a long time. That went viral. That probably hit a few million views. And I just had a huge demand to publish that book. And at the time I was trying to get traditionally published, which means I would basically give all the rights over to a publishing house and I would be not making a whole lot of money that way, because they do all the marketing, they do all the work. I basically just write the books. But if I'm over here marketing my book better than they could have and making that big of a demand for it, then why not publish it myself and make 70% of the royalties instead of 2%? So yeah. It was just a no-brainer. By the time that happened, when I was working at Service Nation, and it was like, I think it was the beginning of 2022 that sort of started to take off for me. And I decided I wanted to publish it. And it wasn't until closer to March, I think, that I saw how much I was making in pre-orders. And that was like a no-brainer. I think that I need to do this full time. And which was like the hardest decision for me. Cause at that time I had been working at Service Nation for what, 5+ years at that point. I mean, remember,
really,
I was like,
family, yeah.
I was a little golden retriever.
You were not.
I was everybody's favorite golden retriever at the office. So that was really hard, was making that decision, but it was a dream since I was like 14 years old that I really wanted to do. And it was just like the right time, the right amount of money was coming into place and it had to happen. So that's when I decided to say my goodbyes. And then, I mean, I made the right decision because I ended up publishing 3 books that year. So I wrote and published, had edited and marketed 3 books, and that took
wow.
all my time, but it was so worth it because I made well beyond what I should have made as a first time author. I made enough to pay off my mom's debt, the house. It was a humbling experience, but it was a very rewarding decision that I made.
Good for you. So that was one of the things I wanted to ask you. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that are struggling writers. They do other jobs and, you know, they do that to support their writing, but you are only writing. Is that correct?
I just started full time again working, and it's only because I got really burnt out. I could not keep writing and publishing that fast. It became more of a job and less of like a passion. It was just something I needed to, I'm basically taking a break to do regular full-time marketing work again.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, but I went at it for a couple years, so.
I'm taking a break from writing.
I'm taking a break from writing. It is too much.
Wow. Okay, so 3 books in total, is that right?
4, and my 5th one is coming out this year.
Gosh, that's amazing.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank
Way to
you.
Go. So tell us just a little bit about the genre. And I know that people who are listening to this will want to know how they can get these books. So make sure you tell us that as well.
Okay, great. Yeah. So the series is called The Pawn and the Puppet series. It is in the dark dystopian romance genre with a fantasy twist. And just to give you kind of like my quick elevator pitch for this book, it is in, like I said, a dark dystopian world with what we would see as an old fashioned insane asylum, where they have very barbaric methods of treating their patients. just like how we would see in the 50s or so on.
Have nightmares tonight.
Yeah, it does have a horror element to it. So everyone, please be advised with the trigger warnings. But basically, inside this insane asylum, our main character is assigned the room of the most dangerous patient. This patient is a master manipulator and has dissociative identity disorder, which most people know as multiple personalities or split personalities. She has 90 days to reach his core personality, otherwise he is to be executed. And along the way, she has to discover why he is so different, why he became the way he became, and how he seems to know more about her than she knows about herself. So that's sort of the quick elevator pitch I give everybody.
Wow, I'm hooked. That sounds really good.
Thank you.
So how do people get this if they want to?
Yeah, so it is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, Kindle Unlimited, and Audible. The fourth book is about to be on Audible now, but all the others are on there right now. You can get it everywhere.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So you can get it Kindle, and you can get it with WhisperSync, which is the way I love to read my books. Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice. And do you read the Audible parts?
Hell no. That would annoy the hell out of me. Listening to my own voice like that. No, no, no. I had a male and a female voice narrators that do the whole books.
Good, good. Sounds great. So talk to me a little bit about the marketing. What did you do? I mean, you got all these followers. What's made it go viral?
Yeah, I get that question a lot because probably one of the biggest struggles, I think for one, business owners and writers, authors, is that they work really hard on their product, on their book, on their manuscript, and then they don't sell a lot because they have no idea how they're supposed to get it off the ground, how they're supposed to get it in front of that many people, that many eyes, that many viewers.
I want to interrupt you a second because Mark Madison told me exactly the same thing. He said, you know, I've written a lot of books and I know a lot of authors and I sell a lot more than a lot of other people. Yeah. But what I do that they don't do is I market the heck out of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can make the best product in the world, the best book in the world. And unfortunately, you know, success to a lot of people is based off of how much you can sell, how much you can market. And not everybody knows the best secret sauce to marketing. For me, really the secret sauce that I've found is that depending on your industry, depending on your niche, you have to stand out. And by stand out, I mean, when I was marketing my book, first of all, I didn't even start off by marketing my book. I became an influencer in that book industry, the fictional romance, fantasy books, by having the most unique account. Nobody could replicate my account. I wasn't just sitting on camera saying, I read this book this week and I really liked it because this and this and that. No one cares about that. You're not going to stand out in that large audience of all these other influencers or all these other companies that are marketing the same book. You have to, while you're still maintaining the integrity of your brand, have something about your company or yourself that is so intriguing. And they, no matter how much they scroll, they will not find a video like that again. They will not find a post like that again. So for me, that was my sense of humor. That was my big personality. I made the wildest, any crazy video idea I could think of, I did. And you know what? Some of them didn't hit and some of them went crazy viral.
Yeah.
After all of that, then that's when I started to market my own books because I built such a credibility with my audience. They were like, oh my God, she's so crazy. She has the coolest book ideas. I'm going to read whatever she tells me to read. And at that point, it was my book that I was publishing and they were willing to want to read that. So really, you can't just make content that everyone else is making. You have to give a unique twist on it, whether that's being the crazy dog lady at your company. And you know what I mean? Like being the little prankster that is pulling pranks on everybody in the office. There has to be such a unique quality about what you're producing that no one else can replicate it.
So the authors that I know go on book tours, but they're sort of the traditional authors. They have a publishing house, an agent, yada, yada, yada. So do you do book tours?
No, I actually, after I published in the very beginning of 2022, I refused to go to any book signings. I refused to go on any book tours.
Really?
Yeah. It was like a shell shock for me, like being in the middle of the industry at that time, because unfortunately, when I marketed as widely and as broadly as I marketed, I hit a lot of people that should not be reading my book. Basically, you know, you heard the pitch. It's very much horror. It's dark.
You're telling me that your fans freak you out a little bit. Is that what you're saying?
They freak me out just a little bit. Yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't really just that. It was that I hit an audience that, one, they found a lot of things they were very upset about with my books. It was this audience that reads like fluffy romance books. They're probably not used to reading horror or psychological thrillers, stuff like that, that have a lot of these elements. So with that said, I saw a very different side of what it means to go viral and cancel culture and a lot of like internet hate. When you reach that big of an audience, you have to be prepared for the dark side that kind of comes with it. I was not prepared for it. I just saw a lot of love for such a long time on my channels that when I hit that other side, terrifying. So I was like, you know what? I'm so good with just being like in the shadows, publishing my books, making the money. I'm not ready to like step into that in-person interactions with these readers, if that makes sense.
Wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, what lessons you have for contractors, of course.
Of course.
But what should we talk about before we talk about that?
You know, I probably should touch on the fact that I recently got signed by a German publisher. So on our, you know, last topic we just talked about was me not doing tours or book signings. I am for the first time going to be doing both of those things in Germany.
In Germany. Wow.
I guess, wait a second.
You've got a traditional publisher in Germany then? Will it be published in German or is it going to just remain in English so that they're doing a translation and everything?
Yeah, they have the rights to translate now so that it's being
Congratulations. That's huge. Man.
Yeah, it's being
fully
translated.
And you're
going to
do book tours there?
Yeah. So that's, I'm going next year, which was a scary decision, but you know what? I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to do it, I'm going to go big or go home. I'm just going to go full. I mean, they're sending me to Germany. You know, it's like a vacation. I get to meet, my books actually went viral in Germany recently by a few big influencers that they all have over almost 1 million followers apiece. And they recently just promoted the crap out of them. So after that, I got the deal pretty quickly and they wanted me to come do signings out there and meet all those influencers and meet the readers and everything. So I was just like, you know what? I got to do it. But yeah, it's being translated. Yeah. The audiobooks are being translated by German voice actors. So yeah, it's a whole thing. So I'm doing it now.
Wow. Well, congratulations. How terrific is that? And it'll be fun. I mean, just going to Germany and meeting German fans will be totally interesting. So,
great. I'm like, you know what? Why go down to Dallas to do a signing when I can go to way out to Oktoberfest?
I was going to suggest until you told me that you didn't do any, that you come to the local Barnes and Noble. There's opened up a Barnes and Noble within walking distance of my house.
Oh, really?
So excited. Yeah, man, it was great. I went to the opening and everything. You know how I am.
You're like, I can walk there. It's great.
Oh, man, it's fantastic, right? Anyway, so I was going to suggest that until I heard that you don't. But I guess the rule is basically you don't do book signings unless they're in Germany.
Unless they're overseas and I get a really nice vacation out of it, then I'll do it.
Okay, got it. You know, they would probably put you up at the Holiday Inn in Richardson if you
came
up
here. Yeah, they would. Yeah, that'd be nice. It's fine. 45-minute drive.
That's awesome.
Thank you. You've
got all this great experience in media and everything. Are you able to take that and extrapolate that for contractors? What would you tell contractors?
Contractors are still very near and dear to my heart. I'm still Facebook friends with a ton of them. So I do still see a lot of their marketing. I'm not calling anybody out. You know, a lot of them have the best, like coolest marketing videos I still see. But I will say if I could give any advice to them right now, it would be stop playing it safe. There's just so many times I see their specific marketing campaigns or social media campaigns, social media ads, social media posts, and it is not getting anybody's attention. And you really have to think in the mind of a homeowner, what's going to get their attention when they're scrolling on Facebook, when they're scrolling on Instagram, on TikTok, whatever? What is going to get their attention? What's going to make them stop and think, oh my God, that's so cute, or that's so funny? It's not all about the immediate ROI. It's not all about the immediate click-throughs. It's not about that. It's about getting in front of their face enough times. 21 times some people say that it takes to make a financial decision. Okay. But really, it's about being in front of their face enough times to where that right moment in their life where they they've decided, I'm sick of the HVAC company I have right now. I'm sick of the plumbing company I have right now. My house is hot. It's overheated. We're in Texas. So right now that's a big problem, but we're in summer. Sometimes it's just about being in front of their face at the right time. So what does that mean? That means you gotta up your social media game. You gotta up your marketing game. You have to stand out. So the simple little promo graphics and 20% off, $20 off this, whatever free consult, that's great. And I'm sure at some points, yes, that does hit your customers when they need it and think, oh God, okay, perfect. Let me go ahead and call them really quick and get that. However, you want to be in front of their face. So come up with some more creative marketing videos. It could be pranks around the office. It could be funny skits on how your customers talk to your techs or how your techs talk to your customers. Like whatever the case is, you got to find some people in the office, and they don't even have to be in your marketing team. Some people just have some really funny ideas because they spend a lot of time on social media. We all do. Okay. So a lot of us get caught scrolling endlessly into that void. Well, some people in your office may just be that one person that's like, oh my God, I actually have a ton of ideas. Thank you for asking me. And a couple of them may stick. You have no idea what's going to go viral. It doesn't take a magical magician to go viral on Facebook. Yes. And yes, videos do go viral on Facebook. I've had many that go viral there, but it doesn't take a genius. It really just takes that extra little pizzazz, that extra little flair, creativity, the right time, the right moment. And like I said, the more times you get in front of their face, the more likely they're going to be to choose you when they are ready to make a financial decision. So that's the best advice I can give. Just stop playing it safe and really start giving more thought to your creativity and your marketing efforts.
Great stuff, Brandy. Well, Brandy, this has been fantastic. Is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't?
I think you covered everything. This was great.
Well, thank you so much for doing this with me. It's been a joy. Been a joy to catch up with you. You've just taken off. It's so cool to see it. So way to go.
Well, I will say this on a one parting note. I will say that I definitely would have never done this if when I was at Service Nation, I didn't know how I would feel about being on video all the time. But when I got started, I really discovered that I could definitely do it more often. And I liked doing it. I don't know if you guys could tell, but I liked being on camera.
Oh, yeah. They were hilarious. I mean, of course, especially the Svetlana, the whole thing with the spy. Those were hilarious videos.
Yeah, that was a hard character to build. But
I need to find some of those and put those in the show notes.
Oh my God. Little skits. Little flashbacks. Yeah. I do attribute though a lot of me taking that big leap from my practice at Service Nation. I really feel like I attribute a lot of skills there.
Well, good. I'm glad it paid off for you.
Thank you. It did.
Hi, this is David again. Three quick notes. One, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. Two, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. Three, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.